My guest today on Piano Jazz is pianist-composer Michel Camilo. Whether he performs classics or jazz, he captures the essence of his Latin heritage with his brilliant technique. Michel, how are you?
Great, Marianne. Great to be here.
It's nice to see you after all this long time.
Oh, yes, wonderful to be here with you.
And congratulations on all the things you're doing.
Thanks.
And your wonderful new album, the Gershwin Concerto.
Oh, yes, and you know, that's a dream come true. Finally, I dared to record Rhapsody in Blue and Concerto in F, and, you know, it's an incredible feeling to be surrounded by 95 musicians on stage.
Oh, I'm sure. It didn't make you nervous or anything, did it?
Well, there's always a little bit of nerves, but it's always healthy.
Yeah, I think it is healthy. I think if you say, I'm never nervous, I think that's wrong. I think you always have to have a little edge or something.
Yeah, a little adrenaline never hurts, especially for Gershwin in that music.
Absolutely. So I just don't know where to start with you. You're playing classics and jazz, right?
These days, it's like I have two careers at the same time. It's really amazing. Because I'm playing Ravel as well, the piano concerto.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all over the world. And you know, I just go with the flow. And it's always nice to break barriers between both worlds and bring them together.
And that's what you're doing.
That's hopefully what I'm doing, yes.
Well, when you're practicing, do you practice the classics separately and then you come into the things you're doing on jazz?
That's actually a great question. No, actually, you know what happens? I'm like a madman. I go from one world to another in a second.
A madman.
Yeah, completely crazy. I can be a little Chopin and then go to Ellington or, you know, that kind of thing. But it's fun. It's music, you know?
It sure is. Well, I would love to hear some music. How about a solo from you? That would be really nice.
All righty. This is a song that I wrote for my wife, Sandra, and I call it The Magic in You.
Great title.
Thanks.
I read where you wrote your first song when you were 5 years old.
That's right.
Do you still ever remember that song?
I wish I wish I did. My mother is, she got the sheet music for it, and she says she's going to send it to me. But I know it was a ballad. It was like a bolero, which in the Caribbean is a ballad.
Did you start taking lessons then?
Not until I was 9. From 5 to 9, I was playing by ear. Which was actually very nice for my eventual development as a jazz musician.
I don't know. I guess I've always played by ear. I'm not much of a reader, but I started about the same time you did. But then I guess you really got into it after that.
Yes. You know, in my family, there were both types of musicians, classical and popular. So I got it from both sides. And just looking at my aunt and my aunt was classical and my uncle was popular.
Oh, that is so interesting.
Yeah.
So you've got something for everything, for all sides of music, right in the family.
Yeah, and that's part of the whole thing. You know, that's why I always saw it as music, as opposed to one type or another. Because everybody would just take turns at the piano.
It's very rare, really, that you get... I think most of the jazz pianists either gave up classical music or they didn't stick with it the way you have. I mean, you've got like two separate careers. You can almost put on a disguise and come out and play some classical music and then come back and change your clothes and be a jazz pianist.
Well, you know, lately it's really wonderful. Lately what I do, a lot of times, you know, when symphony orchestras invite me, I play in the front half of the concert, jazz, and in the second half with the symphony, classical, in the same evening.
That's wonderful.
It's a lot of fun, you know.
I'll say it is. What about another solo?
Okay.
From you?
This one is more Latin flavored. This one is something that I wrote for my solo piano album. And it was something a little bit more full of reminiscences of my life and my endeavors, my sacrifices to come here to New York and to follow my dream and follow the jazz world. You know, so I call it Reflections, this one.
Okay. What do you say we should do a tune like, well, Quiet Nights, Corcovado?
Oh, that sounds great.
Would that be a good tune to do?
Yes, that would be wonderful. I actually met Jobim in person once.
Did you? I would love to have met him. What a wonderful man.
Wonderful man.
Where did you meet him?
I met him at Tania Maria's place here in New York.
Oh, no kidding.
She used to do these musical soirees and get together. Everybody would take turns at the piano. There was one evening Deodato. And there was Jobim, and they matched the same evening. And Paquito Rivera was there, too.
Lovely
and
man.
We were all taking turns at the piano.
Oh, what fun.
It was a lot of fun, for sure. And he, of course, when he sat, you get goosebumps listening to his melodies.
He had such wonderful melodies, wonderful,
yeah,
wonderful ideas. Gee, I really miss him. I'm just... But he's left us enough tunes.
Oof, for sure.
So let's do
something with this.
Michel joined me for the first time in 1989, and he told me more about his early musical experiences in Santo Domingo. Where'd you get those chops?
Well, you know...
World-class chops.
World-class chops, they say?
Yes.
Oh, my God. No, well, you know, I studied classical piano for a long time down in my country, in Santo Domingo, in Dominican Republic. And I was a classical pianist for a long time, and then I decided...
Is that how you started? I mean, you started classical piano and you didn't play any jazz as a kid?
No, not really. I didn't play... I heard my uncle play some boogie-woogie sometimes, but in reality, I didn't know what jazz was about until I heard Art Tatum on the radio one day.
That must really have given you a surprise.
That was quite a surprise, for sure. A shock.
And is that actually what got you listening to jazz, hearing Art Tatum?
That was it. Because, you know, as a pianist, for me, to hear all this control and beauty and absolute artistry
was quite a shock.
Well, tell me how you got started playing at all. Did you? I mean, were you like a child prodigy that started?
Well, they used to call me a child prodigy. Yeah, because I started playing when I was 4 and a half, an accordion, which was the instrument that was in the house. And at 5, I started writing my own tunes. In my family, there is a lot of musicians. There is a lot of composers also. 2 generations.
Does actually. Your father play an instrument?
He plays a little bit. He's the lesser one, actually, in the family. But I have 9 uncles, and a lot of them play or sing or write music. You know,
9 uncles? My God, you've got a band right there.
That's right. Well, that's what happened. Every time the family would get together, that's what would happen. The whole orchestra would come together.
Oh, that's exciting. So no wonder that you're such a musician. You grew up with it and hearing it all the time.
Right.
Well, before we go any further, we should play something. I'd love to hear you actually wail a tune.
Okay. I'm going to play Blue Bossa.
Great.
Kenny Dorham standard.
Okay. This is interesting because you started out in your country as a percussionist with the symphony, did you not?
Well, you see, what happened was that my family at some point said, you know, you can be a musician, but you can be a musician by hobby, not by profession.
Yeah, right.
And what I was doing, I was studying at the National Conservatory, and my teacher, my composition teacher there, so that I was going into the university to study medicine. And I actually went, and I left the piano for 2 years on family's pressure, yeah. And then he said, no, I'm going to keep you tied to music. And then he offered me a post in the National Symphony when I was 16. And he said, you never learn to play percussion, but you learn on a job. But I want you there. The piano is a percussion instrument anyway, so... He flew me into the National Symphony Orchestra.
Boy, that's interesting because he probably really saved you from a career that you might not have wanted to be in. Because, I mean, unless you really want to be a doctor.
No, in reality,
you wanted to be a musician.
Yes.
Obviously.
And then 2 years after, I went back into the conservatory and finished all my career. And thanks to him, I'm still here doing music.
Wonderful. Then you came over here and you went to Juilliard.
That's right. I came here. I wanted to keep on studying and studied at Juilliard and studied at Mannes College as well. And then after that, I studied, like they say, in the clubs, in the real life. Went to the jam sessions and tried to make my way in there.
And how about another tune? How about one from the album... called Michelle Camilo.
Michelle Camilo, yeah. Yeah, this is a ballad. And I love writing ballads. You know, I love to write all these chord changes. And
oh, I know, because you have time to let them go by nice and easy, you know, and everybody can... This is what I liked about your ballad playing. You get seem as if you kind of linger over every chord so that...
That's right.
You really get to hear it.
It's almost like a meditation. It's very introspective.
That's true. Well, what's this one called?
This is called Nostalgia.
Okay. Thank you.
to hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Save America's Treasures, a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service, Department of the Interior, Fazioli Pianos, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.